Okay, then we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, approval agenda. I think we're going to remove the tile bid from the agenda. That's back a little ways. That's, I don't think, needed on this. We can discuss it if you'd like, but we're going to remove it.
I would need a motion for that then, please.
Oh, and I'd like a motion for that, please.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Is that on the agenda?
It's back here.
It should be in parks.
Yeah, it's on our parks, yeah. Okay, so then I guess we've got an open forum if anybody cares to speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Dan with Holic, and I was just wondering if we had a little more information on the fire hall that you guys are wanting to build?
We will probably get into that a little bit later. We don't really have any good path yet by any means. This is still very much in the planning stages and just trying to figure out which way we're going to go and you know, what our community needs are the best. We're just really, this is just the beginning of it, and we're really trying to develop a path there, I guess, at this time. There's really nothing yet, but
okay.
We're working on it.
All right, we're just wondering where it was going to be built and all that good stuff.
And that hasn't even been decided yet.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Okay, and we've got another.
Hi, my name is Robin Denault, and I live in Emory. I frequent the Muni. My complaint about the Muni is that I don't get waited on. I go away January and February. When I came back in March, I was not waited on. I stood at the bar waiting, and they just turned around and walked back into the kitchen. I'm sure they did see me, but I don't know, whatever. I ended up calling the bar and ordering a drink. They answered the phone, I waved, and I got served that day. They told me that they had new staff, so I figured, well, you know, that's the reason why I didn't get waited on. Well, it's 6 months later, and I'm still having a hard time getting waited on. I've complained to Tony, Fuhite, and Ann about it. And I'm sure it helps if it comes from somebody that frequents there. Not that I'm always there, but I don't get waited on. I have no idea. I have no idea why I don't get waited on. I've been going to the Muni. I've lived in 50 Lakes, or Emily 50 Lakes, for 8 years now. I frequent the Muni because I enjoyed like the meat raffle and bingo. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. I'll come on Monday for the meat raffle, and that'll be it, because again, I do not like not getting waited on. Back in July, I gave a letter to Ann, but it was not read. And at that time, I questioned what could be done. Well, now it's 2 months later, and the solution is I can go on to another bar and get waited on at that bar. So that's my complaint. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, Robin. And I apologize personally. I apologize to you for this incident. I know that we have had those problems in the past, and we have been trying to work on them. And again, I'm very sorry about that. We have another.
sure enough, I live here in 50 Lakes. I was here at the bar last night. A friend of mine came in, Two bartenders looked at him. 15 minutes later, he still wasn't served. So
that is,
it happens all the time.
I would like to see that addressed. And Emily, I think that's on you.
Yeah, obviously wasn't here last night. And I just, last time I saw Robin, I personally made her a drink. So, and she gets up to the order station or when we can get up to the tables. So, sorry that you feel that you're being singled out. But
well, I don't think I'm being singled out because, I mean, I'm sure it happens to other people. But I don't understand. You've got three people or even two people behind the bar. And they just skim. They don't know how to look for people who have money in their hands.
Well, it's unfortunate because, you know, Kim, it would have been Kim and, last night.
Well, so Kim came to our table and asked if, you know, we wanted a drink, but that doesn't happen every week. Jesse makes a point of coming to the table and saying, do you want, he'll tell me what I want, and I'll say, yeah, that's what I drink.
Yeah. And your letter was read, and every time I see you, it's insane busy on a Thursday night. So if you would like to come talk to me personally when it's not meat raffle and bingo night, I would really appreciate that. And obviously, our staff works very hard.
Oh, I'm not saying your staff doesn't work very hard, but they work very hard at serving other people and not people that have money in their hands. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay, we're going to move on now. That's a conversation for later between the two of you, I believe. Any other comments? All right, then we're going to move on to the consent agenda. And I need a motion for that.
Are the resolution going to fall into the approval of it? Or?
Yes.
Could it all be under one?
If you just approve the consent agenda, we'll include everything in it.
So that will pull us all the way through the resolution 2509?
Yes, correct.
I make a motion to pass the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we move on to Jordan Larson.
Hi there, my name is Jordan Larson with the Rowan County Highway Department, and Hannah reached out a couple weeks ago to see if I could come give you guys an update on the Crooked Creek Bridge project, and as well as some issues with the shoulders on County Road 136, and just to answer any questions or anything that you guys might be curious on. So the Crooked Creek Bridge project is County Road 136. It's a 2028 plan project. Right now, it's in the preliminary design phase. We're hoping to get some survey data this fall, and then we can get more into the design. Right now, we're looking at twin box culverts for that crossing.
How wide would they be?
I believe 14 feet wide.
It would be 28 foot span?
I believe so, but don't... I can check on that and certainly get back to you. But if you ever traveled in the southern part of the county between upper South Long Lake and lower South Long Lake, it's a very similar situation to that Crooked Creek crossing, and it would probably look very similar to that.
One comment I have about that is I'd like to see that much wider than it is now, because in the future I can see adding shoulders to the road up there. We've been asking the highway department for quite a while, ever since I've been on council, which is only 5 years, but we need to widen those shoulders up there and do some work on those ditches. So, and I think what we were kind of told after you'd reworked it last time, of course, now we're just out of luck until you rework it next time, but I want this put in your paperwork that we're requesting very strongly that we have our shoulders built up out there. We've got a lot more people living here, and there's a lot of people walking, and that's very dangerous up there. And with that, I'm asking you to make sure that culvert or bridge is wide enough to accommodate wider shoulders in the future. And I do hope that you guys would listen to us and please help us get those wider shoulders, because it is very necessary up there.
Yeah, I agree that back when we did the project 7 or so years ago,
2018 was it?
18. It was one of those projects where at the time that the traffic count and the budget didn't allow us to basically reconstruct the project. There were some drainage issues, as you probably know from living near that road. But back to your point on the bridge crossing there, with the installation of those box culverts, there will be a pretty significant area of there'll be a shoulder, and then there'll be a grassed vegetated insole down to basically the top of the box culvert. So they'll definitely be wider than what currently exists today.
You know, because we have a lot of bicyclists and stuff like that. I mean, if you narrow it down right there, I want to make sure, because you guys just don't seem to listen sometimes. I'm trying to speak very loudly here to be heard that we need to have these projects done correctly. And the last time someone was here, they kind of said, well, this is what you got and that's all you're going to get. We didn't have it in the budget. Well, I'm asking you now to start budgeting for that.
Mm-hmm. No,
And I'm not coming at you personally. You're just the representative here. So.
No, and I totally understand that. And that kind of leads into another thing I wanted to bring up tonight, was our long-range transportation plan. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the county is doing a long-range transportation plan, which is kind of a 15 to 20-year outlook at what we see coming up in the future, and that transportation plan kind of funnels down and kind of is a feeder system for our 5-year highway improvement plan. It's a project that Matt Calrus, our highway transportation planner, has been working on over the last year or so, and I've got some printouts that kind of show where the project is at right now. I figured I'd hand these out to you, and I've got some extras that I can leave on the table back there.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes.
So, obviously, when in this process of redoing the bridge, you're going to have an engineered plan, right, that we can look at and see.
Yes.
Exactly how wide the bridge is going to be, and if it includes shoulders like the mayor's referring to.
Yes, we'll have plans, and before the project's finalized.
Okay, because I think that'd be great. Yeah, if the council could see those before.
Yeah. One other thing too. How long is the project going to take? Is there an estimate? Because we have a lot of residents north and people that travel north. Is there going to be a byway that they can do, or are they going to have to go around to Odin and around?
That's something that we haven't really addressed yet, being we haven't fully gotten into the design phase of the project. But I will say, with the probability of it being box culverts, those are typically a quicker installation than a bridge would be, because you're not waiting for a concrete bridge to set up or those things, but that is a tough spot for people going north and south. There is not any great detours. So we're still kind of looking, haven't really got too deep into whether we put a temporary bypass around that. And you know, if we would do that, I know it's a tough spot. So I can certainly, in a year from now, we'll have a much better idea of, you know, what we're looking at doing, and I can certainly come back and update you on the project at that time again.
Because it's scheduled for 2028, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
we'd like to be updated.
Yeah.
No, if there's any project ever, just certainly reach out to me, and I can certainly, or Daria can certainly come up here too if it's one of her projects. And we like to stay on the same page with you guys, so you guys know what we're looking at, and then we also get feedback from you so we know what you want to see.
And so, Jordan, on that note, back in 2018, 2 years before you did the 136, you and I drove that. We drove it again the year before. And you said you weren't going to do anything as far as that ditch goes, but at 1.5 miles to 1.8 miles up the road, your mower guy won't even mow the areas that I want it fixed. And now you guys did a bunch of shoulder work on it, but you've still never addressed where the four-wheelers have left 2+ feet deep gullies through there. And when you redid the road, you said, well, we're not going to redo this road. Well, on that note, you end up milling up everything in front of my house for that mile that I had recommended, and starting over and raising the road by 2.5, 3 inches, something like that. And you never addressed the ditch. The ditch has a huge fall off now through my area where the road was never made wide enough. If you go up there about 2.5 miles up, the ditch is fine, and the first part of the ditch is okay.
Well, the first mile. Yeah. And after that, it just fizzles all.
For the next mile, for the first mile is good. After that, the next mile is bad, and then it gets a good ditch all the way to the county line.
Yeah, we've had a lot of the ditching, the ATV damage and stuff in the ditches has been a very, very hot topic the last few years. I know on County Road 1, when we did this project this year, there was we got a lot of feedback on ditching issues and, you know, ATV running and stuff like that. It's our kind of goal, or our viewpoint from the highway department, is to first address the road top as far from a safety concern. Then after that, then we, you know, look at the ditches. If there's, you know, large safety concerns, that's something we may look at, or we want to look at, but at some point we got to draw a line, which, you know, between.
Well, according to your rules, it's supposed to be a 3-to-1 pitch coming off the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several areas in there where it's negative. And it's,
almost undercutting the road.
And on top of that, I watched you guys, I actually haven't been pulled up at that moment. I watched you put a whole live body of recycled, of hot asphalt in the ditch right across from his road. They backed in and they dumped a whole 24 tons of hot mix and built a shoulder on an hot mix.
Yeah, was that on, which project was that on?
That was on 136, about right at the 1 mile marker.
Right, just a hair beyond the 1 mile mark.
And that was, I'm assuming, just in the last couple of years?
That was when you redid the road.
That was with the project in 2018?
And at that time, you guys just left it. I actually called down there. I don't know if I was on the council, but you had left it in such a mess that I had called you to come back and do something about it. And then I went out there, and here the guy that lives there, that guy with the cowboy hat, he was out there raking it out for you. Because it was just so, it was terrible. It's like, throw it out and away you went, you know.
Into the ditch?
Yeah, that was 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that our contractor and we weren't all on the same page there. But
yeah, I ended up making a call, but by the time I called, I'd noticed the neighbor had fixed it, so raked it all out.
But your mower guy won't even mow through that area.
Yeah.
And being that you guys have put the four-wheelers up on the road, it's that ditch doesn't see nearly the erosion it used to. But we need to fix what damage was done prior.
Mm-hmm. That's something I can talk to our maintenance supervisor on. He's kind of in charge of looking at those maintenance fixes to the ATV damage and the running. That's why I'm clear it's 2 miles north of...
About a mile and a half.
Mile and a half.
North of Jerry's Road, across from just north of Shamrock Drive.
Okay.
On the east side of the road, there's two places in there where it's... And I made the comment to you back then, and one day in a skid steer, you could have the whole mile of ditch fixed and drained. And right now, there's several places where there's old road approaches, and... And you just left it, but yet you still had rebuilt the surface, and then didn't address your front slope.
Yeah, those are tough situations from a budget standpoint and from a scoping of the project. That road, I think, next time when it's resurfaced or whatever, I feel like it should have much more of an in-depth, more of a reconstruct, widen those ditches out, get the drainage, and get a much wider surface for pedestrians.
The first 2 miles of that road is probably 50 years old and it's never been upgraded. The only reason it's got decent ditch for the first while is because it's farm fields.
Yeah. What other comments or questions?
Well, I have this letter here that we had received from a resident here about the speed limit out here. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you guys redid that, you guys went from 45 to 55. If you don't mind, I'll just read it real quick. It says here, I'm concerned about the fact that the county has decided to raise the speed limit on County Road 1 through 50 Lakes from 45 to 55. I think this change is unwise and will increase the likelihood of serious accidents on the corner of 3 and 1 here. This change, of course, it's a busy intersection, and now instead of going through at 45, they're going through at 60. You know, and then it brings up the fatal accident down on County Road 66 and 1. You know, and that really brought the concern to light. And what is the possible reason could there be for raising this limit through 50 lakes? And I encourage, now this is more, I guess, to myself and my council, that we petition the county to restore the speed limit. You know, when you guys did that, we as a council asked you not to do that, but we seem to have no say in the matter. It's kind of whatever you guys decide is what I'm getting out of it, so.
And that's been the norm with our relationship since I've been on the council over 12 years. We ask for something and you're here to talk about it, and it goes right over. As soon as you walk out, it's went in the garbage can and you're going on to do whatever you want to do. That's kind of the relationship we've had with the county. I got tired of calling Rob. I used to call him 5 years ago. I don't even bother anymore. You guys are going to do what you want to do. And there it is. And we lost the turn lane in Emily when the state redid that. He raised the speed limit. And I asked him before when he just brought it up to the conversation. I said, don't do it. We've had a fatality there many years ago, but we didn't want it. And you guys did it even before you redid the road. You raised it to 55 for no reason.
I don't know. Would you like a copy of this letter that you could bring back with you?
I certainly could.
I'm happy to share it with you.
Yeah, I can. Wait till you get back to address it.
What grounds do you raise speed limits and why?
So, unfortunately, the county doesn't have much pull at all in the speed limits. When someone were like a speed limit adjusted up or down, usually they contact us and then we get MnDOT. MnDOT does all our speed studies, so our hands are kind of tied. So when they do a speed study, say we wanted the speed limit, we were hoping that it would increase, MnDOT could do a speed study and says no, it needs to go down and we'd have to decrease it. In your case, unfortunately, it sounds like they did a speed study out there and determined that the speed limit should be higher than what it used to be.
Well, from what I was explaining,
people in the state don't live here.
I know, and I hear that comment quite a bit.
What I was explained is nobody does 45, so we're just going to raise it to 55 or 60. Well, now, with the same mentality, now people are running through there at 65, 70. Are we going to raise it to 70 then? I mean, since when does doing something wrong promote doing something more wrong? You know?
Yeah.
These are the questions that I've got, and you guys don't really seem to give us a great answer. This is how it is, and that's how it's going to be. And it'd be nice to be able to have a better conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, our hands are kind of tied with MnDOT setting the speeds. We don't really have much say in what these limits are.
Well, so you need to talk. Ray Rob needs to change things at the state level because that's just not right. And the state shouldn't be setting speed limits for a place that the whoever decided needs to go to 55 probably never even been down County Road 1.
They live in St. Paul.
Okay. Do we need to contact MnDOT then?
I would certainly encourage it. I would encourage, you know, reaching out to MnDOT, explaining your situation, why you disagree maybe why they determine that as the regulatory speed for the road.
I guess I was always under the impression that you guys were doing it until just now. Now I find out the state does it.
So yeah,
I was never told that ever before.
Yeah, we put the signs up, but MnDOT does all the speed studies. So it's we've had, like I said, situations in the past where the city or township was hoping for a decrease, and speed study came back and said it needs to go up. And, you know, it's,
well, and I know it's a controversy in Manhattan Beach and Cross Lake, too. I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a controversy there, too, as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Does the city get a copy of this speed study?
I can certainly forward one on if that's something.
Actually, didn't you guys just do a car count on County Road 136 back in June? I thought I saw this counter out there, and what is the status on that? Do you have any results yet?
I don't have the results. I can certainly send them to Ann with that box culvert information. I think the reason we did that count was just for this upcoming Crooked Creek Bridge project. But yeah, I can certainly get you that data.
But because there is data, and it was done again, it seems like you do it every 10 years or so. I see the counter go up. And at one point, you guys also, do you do township roads? Because I thought you had done Kego Lake for us, and I had requested you guys to come and give us a new count on Kego Lake Road now that the golf course is there and is occupied, and we have many, many more residents up there. I'd be curious to see if they could do it on Kego Lake Road also.
The only thing we learned yesterday is we want to be careful of that, because if people are in fact driving faster, then they're going to raise it.
This isn't a speed study. No, this is just a car count.
Okay, because we were told that yesterday. That
the car count, does that include foot traffic?
No, it's strictly vehicle traffic. The sensors are tubes that lay across the road, so it's just getting
it'd be ATVs though too, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do ATVs sound them off? Do they count ATVs?
Yes, I believe so. And what lake or what road was that you were interested
Kego,
in?
Kego, K-E-G-O.
Okay.
And if we could get the results on County Road 136. I know it was and past historical records, because I know they've done it at least twice since I've been up here.
And in regards to that, the speed study that was done out here at the intersection, I'll see what MnDOT gives us and see if I can forward something on as well. I've personally never seen what we get back from the speed study. That's typically Rob or somebody else that's dealing with that information, but I'll see what I can find.
Well, I know when it first started, Tim Bray came to a meeting after you'd done it and informed council that it was going to go up. And council was not in favor of it, and he said there's nothing you could do on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Mr. Wright is here. I don't know if he wants to comment anything.
I think you've covered my concerns.
Okay.
Because what pops into my mind is the thought process of MnDOT saying, you know, there's a half mile stretch there, let's jack it up, and why would they come to that conclusion? It doesn't seem to have any.
Especially an intersection that over 50% of the traffic takes a left-hand turn.
Unless it's sort of a blanket thing. Let's move them all up, all across the whole state, without looking at the individual cases.
Right.
And I do know a little bit from somewhat how they do the study. I think they have to physically drive the road, and they've got some parameters that they look at and meet. But obviously, like you guys know, they don't live here, they don't travel the road every day, so they're not, they're not dealing with the potential safety risk of increasing the speeds. So they're definitely doing a site survey, I guess, as they drive through. But I'm not certain what all they look at. So.
So the city, or it's entirely up to MnDOT. There's nothing the city or the county can do about going back to a 45 zone, at least for this 1 mile, half mile either side of us?
Not that I'm aware of, but like I said, it certainly wouldn't hurt to to write a letter. And
so we put up our own sign. We were
it's a pain.
Well, it is a concern. You go south here at the intersection, you run into Cross Lake, and there's portions that is at 45 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell me what's different?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody got anything else for him? Nope. We can let him go then. You got something to say there?
I got here a little late, but I wanted to talk about east end of Buhide Road coming onto one. It's a terribly unsafe situation there, and I'm hoping something can be done to improve it, because you have to stop back from the stop sign and get a run at it in case there's somebody coming, you know, and it's kind of a blind corner, and we also get quite a bit of traffic off of 3 cutting through over to 1, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that creates a lot more maintenance for 50 lakes, you know, so I just wanted to bring up those issues. And
with the visibility in that intersection, he's right.
It is, it's scary.
It's bad. We've addressed it before. We've been talking about this for maybe the last 3-4 years, or if not longer.
Yeah, and then the ditch on the opposite side goes straight down.
Is it trees that are blocking the visibility, or is it?
Yeah, there's some trees.
The main one.
I suggest when you go, just go down 3 and you'll come to that intersection where Buhide Road. Take a look at it for yourself. I think you would agree that it's not a good situation.
Okay. How far down is it?
Mile down and 1 mile south.
Yeah. Okay.
I would suggest going 3. Go 3 to Buhide Road.
Okay.
Because then it'll bring you out on the east end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We'll give you some gas money.
Talk to him about that.
Thank you for hearing me.
Yes.
Thanks, bud.
Sure, it's a long visit tonight.
What's that?
Hearing God.
Yeah. That's all I had. Well, I'll leave these here. If I know right now the comment portion for the long-range transportation plan has passed, but there's some data in there from the comments that we did receive, and just kind of some next steps. I think coming up this December, they're coming out with they'll have the draft of the plan put together, but it should help us look longer into the future, see what we see coming then, so we can.
I didn't get a chance to read through it. Obviously, we have a short year only here for a few minutes, but are the ATVs addressed in here on the hardtop in the county?
Are they what?
Are they addressed as far as a wider shoulder for our ATV traffic?
The
heavy ATV area right here.
Yes.
And it was okay before you started on 136, and I asked at that point if we could go to 4-foot shoulders, and you said no, the budget's already been set for it.
So with this, right now, during the public input stage, that was like for the public to, you know, make those comments and suggestions, like the ATV data, talk about the issues that people are seeing at the on the county road and the intersections. So nothing is really, this is kind of a broad plan right now, just to kind of help us look into the future to see what's coming. So when we do get that 5-year highway improvement plan, as that each year as a new project comes into it, this will help us kind of gauge where we are at as a.
I just have a question. Mm-hmm. Why can't you design the roads nowadays with 4-foot shoulder? I mean, if you have a problem with your vehicle, you can't even change a tire without getting hit. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
So we'll just, for instance, County Road 136, when we did that 7 years ago, to do a full-blown reconstruction plan so we could add those 4-foot shoulders and fix the ditches, it would have probably been
less than it will today.
Oh, yes, a lot less than it will today. But I don't know if you've seen our, when Tim does his Tim Gray does his five-year highway improvement plan. He's got a map that he puts up that shows the distribution of all the funds of the taxpayer dollars and how they're spent throughout the county. And we try to keep that, those funds well dispersed. We don't want it to look like we're favoring one area over the other, but we try to keep them well dispersed, but at the same time, consider doing projects that are the ones that we need to get to due to the road condition. And sometimes it's a tough battle to try to gauge, you know, whether or not we need to spend $6 million here, or if we just need to spend $1.5 million and then spend, you know, the other $4.5 million somewhere else. So it's a battle, but I know it's hard to please everybody, but we do what we can to try to keep the roads in decent shape.
Thank you. All right, then we move on to the 4M fund, and we have somebody on Zoom. This Corey.
Do you guys hear us?
Yep.
Oh.
We're here.
Okay, let me turn this up.
Can you hear us okay?
I think so. Can you hear him okay? Let's give it a whirl.
Testing.
Okay, I think we're ready.
All right. Well, good evening, Mayor, Council. Appreciate the opportunity to join you this evening. I'm joined tonight by Matt Heslin from our office. Matt and I kind of head up a lot of the engagement efforts for the 4M Fund. So just want to take a few minutes and introduce you to the program, answer any questions that you might have regarding this program. I'm going to try and share my screen. I think you have the information in the packet, but I'll share this anyway, just so you can kind of see on the screen if anyone's in there in the council chambers. Can you see that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So the 4M fund program, you know, the League of Minnesota Cities, this is their program. They are the sponsors to this program that started back in 1987. So it's been around for over 38 years now, and we were hired by the League to basically serve as the administrators and investment advisors to the funds, really doing a lot of the day-to-day work on behalf of the League for this program. It's evolved a lot over the years. It started as just a basic money market program, so a savings vehicle for public entities in Minnesota, and it's evolved to where today we have a lot of different investment options that we'll touch on briefly. The 4M fund money market programs, they are AAA rated. I know that's always a question that we get from public entities, because safety of dollars is obviously the utmost concern. And so it is a rated fund. It's got the highest possible rating by S&P. And so it's a very safe program. It's been through a lot of different market cycles. Obviously with the housing crisis in 08 and this recent, the pandemic that we went through, the fund has never lost money. Money market programs have always performed, provided a positive return for our participants, and never had any lost dollars in the program. So it's something that we're proud of with the fund. Today, over 400 municipal entities do participate. It's available to all public entities, so the majority are cities, but we have some townships and watershed districts, different types of public entities that do participate in the program. Just to briefly touch on some of the investments that are available in the 4M fund, we have our multi-class, the money market fund. This is our most used program. This is the initial program that the League started the fund with. We've got two different money markets, but basically both of them provide a very liquid option, a place for cities to kind of park dollars. They can link it up with their local bank, but they can park it in the money market programs, earn a market yield on those dollars until they're needed for funding their operations, and they can pull them back to their local bank as they need them. And so those are very popular programs right now. Those are at about a 4.2% in today's market. they can change daily, so we can see those rates change. And if the Fed, they do meet next week, we keep hearing the Fed's expected to lower rates. If that happens, we will start to see some of those money market rates come down. But this past year, it's been a very competitive program, earning over 4% for the entire year. And so both of those would be available to the city as a participant in the fund. And then in addition to the money markets, we have our term series investment pools and our limited term duration fund. Both of those programs are designed for some of those longer term dollars, dollars that you don't need to keep liquid, but an option to invest those into a program that's hopefully going to provide a little better yield over time versus the money market programs. And so the term series pools, we can offer those to the city for up to 13 months. They offer a fixed rate, fixed maturity date, so we use a lot of those for those costs that we know that the city might have, whether it's capital projects in the summer months or if you have some debt service payments that might be due at certain times in the year. That's a good tool to invest to those specific dates. And then we also have our limited term duration fund, which is a fund that's designed for longer term dollars. It's a different concept. It's a variable NAV program, so it's a program with a variable share price, if you will. So the city would buy in. You want to leave those dollars in there for a year longer to give that time to grow, but that's been performing very well over the last year for a lot of our participants as well. So all of these programs, these pooled programs, would be available to the city as a participant in the fund. And by pooling, again, it just means you're pooling your dollars with other public entities and you have that buying power from having that larger bucket of money that's being invested out into the markets. So three very popular programs that are available. They kind of wrapped around the pool programs. We also then have our 4M fixed rate program. So this is a program that we can offer to our participants specific to the individual participant. And so if the city had specific funds that you wanted to invest out into statute allowable investments, we can offer those as well. So we do a lot of placement into CDs. We do offer access to the U.S. agency and treasury markets. And so there's a lot of different types of investments that statute does allow cities to invest in, and we can bring those to the table as well to our participants in the fund. And so it's just another tool that can be used to kind of maximize those returns as best we can over time. And again, a lot of this gets back into kind of that cash flow need, if you will, for the city. A lot of our discussion with cities when we're working with them is really around that cash flow need. And so when we're talking about different buckets, as we like to look at these buckets that we put dollars in, whether it's short-term, intermediate, long-term, we kind of rely on that city to help us understand what that cash flow need is, and then we can come back to the city with some different solutions, different investment options that's going to best meet that cash flow need. And so these, having all of these kind of solutions, if you will, allows us to kind of tailor that investment option for the city as best we can. So there's a lot of different opportunities, again, and different types of monies that we work with, you know, with cities, whether it's operating money. We do a lot of bond proceeds management for public entities. So different types of dollars have different needs, and we can utilize all these different programs to manage those different types of dollars that you might need help with. So again, a lot of different opportunities. As we see this market kind of stabilize, you know, if we do see short-term rates come down as expected, you know, it'll be kind of becoming more of a normal market. Since the pandemic, we've been in this weird inverted kind of curve where we've seen short-term rates better than long-term rates. And so short-term rates coming down has kind of been expected over this last year. And so as it normalizes, we'll continue to see some nice opportunities with some of these longer-term investment programs as well. So with that, we'll answer any questions. Again, as we work with cities, we really look at it as a partnership. We want to be able to, there's no need to change banks at the city level. We can link up to your local bank. And so it really just becomes that added tool helping you manage some of those dollars, or we can shift it back and forth as you need it with your bank and hopefully get you a market rate of return on your dollars until you do need them. So with that, we'll stand for any questions council might have.
What advantages do you have over us getting a CD? I'm just looking at the rates on our CDs, and our worst one is 4.06, as much as 5% still through next April on some of our own investments.
Yep. Well, to answer that question, I guess it really, you know, again, you don't have, there's no need to change your local institutions. And so a lot of times cities will look at the 4M fund versus what they can do locally. And if obviously you're able to do something locally, if they've got some programs going with local CDs, you know, certainly makes sense to do that. There's no need to shift it to the fund if you can do something locally better. So again, this is just kind of an added tool. The market's always moving, and so it's a tough one to answer. We'll sometimes see local banks offering a very competitive rate. Sometimes we'll see the fund offering a much more competitive rate than the local bank. So I think as the market shifts, you'll see some of that movement with bank rates, and it just kind of gives you that added tool to kind of bid your dollars, you know, locally versus what the fund might be able to offer. So as far as an advantage, obviously we have a larger network of banks versus just your local bank, so we can go out and bid your dollars to our network of banks so that you have a pretty good idea of what the market's going to provide that you can compare with the what the local bank is offering.
Mr. Mayor, may I just give the council a little background on this?
The reason they
have joined us tonight is, if you recall, our city auditor has said for the past couple of years, our auditing costs are so high because of all the CDs that we have and them having to track every time I cash one in, every time we renew, and all the interest and everything that goes with it. So they had suggested that we figure something out because there's a better way to manage them. So I called Lisa Sova a couple weeks ago at the League of Minnesota Cities, and this is what she highly recommended, is that council at least look at this, because that will lower our auditing costs.
Okay, it'll lower our auditing costs. What is the cost from them to do this for us?
That I don't know.
Matt?
Corey.
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if that was a question for us or not. There's no cost to join the fund. We often get the question, how are we paid? We're paid by the League of Minnesota Cities through our agreement as the administrator. And so whenever we show rates to a city, whether it be the pooled programs, those money market programs, or the term series, that's going to be net of all fees. And so you're never going to see an invoice from us. There's never any cost. The only type of cost you might see would be if you're needing to move money maybe from a local bank into your 4M account or from the 4M account back to your local bank. There might be some transfer fees from your local bank, but the fund pays for any fees on our end of it. But that would be the only cost you might incur. There's no minimum balance requirement. There's nothing from a fee standpoint that you would ever see.
And then we have to sign a contract with you, I believe, and with that being said, if we decide we want to get out of it, is there an easy out on that contract, or what do we have to do?
It's not a contract per se. So the initial step for the fund, because the fund, if you ever look at Statute 118A, the 4M fund is a joint powers investment trust. And so the first step is for the city to pass a resolution saying you want to join that trust agreement. Once you join the fund, you can put as little or as much in as you want. And so there's no contract. We have some cities that will utilize the fund for a certain dollars they might be managing. They might shift that money out for a period of time where they're carrying a very small balance or even a zero balance. There's no requirement to maintain that balance, and there's no contracts. You could move your dollars out at any time. And so it's just kind of that flexible tool that gives you that added option for investing of dollars, but there's no contract or no penalty for withdrawing your funds.
How many are we allowed to have more than one account? Because like we have roads, we have a lake committee,
we have a liquor store, yeah. We have
the liquor store has their own, and also our lake associations have one also. So we actually have four different categories that we have our funds in.
Yep. Yeah, and you can have as many sub-accounts as you want. So some cities pool all their money into one account, and then they use their accounting systems to allocate between their different internal funds. Other cities have a separate sub-account in 4M, and so they're tracking those dollars separately within the fund. One of the advantages of doing that is you do actually get a separate statement then for each sub-account. So you could have a liquor sub-account, you could have your lake sub-account, you could have all those different sub-accounts established. So that they would each get their own statement, earn their own interest on those dollars, so it'd be totally separate from a reporting standpoint.
You know, right now the way we have our accounts set up, they're staggered to where, you know, we have to sign on for a year or a certain specific amount of time. We have our CDs right now staggered, so they become available to us at different times of the year. You know, if we had I'm just trying to find like a general fund. We have one.
Yeah.
Well, like roads, we've got three different road accounts, and they come due at three different times of the year. If we had a road account with you, would we have three sub-accounts under that that we could access at different times? Or do we got to sign on for a year on an account, you know what I mean?
Right. But you wouldn't have to have a separate sub-account for like each CD, if that's what you're meaning. So you could have a sub-account specific to that function. So if it's roads or liquor store or whatever it might be, you'd have a separate sub-account for that function. Within that sub-account, you could have dollars, a portion of that balance in a money market. You could have a portion invested into CDs. So you can split it out any way you want specific to that function. You could have multiple CDs within that sub-account. So it's really kind of based on what the function of the need for the sub-account. If it's specific to a department, you can do that and then kind of invest those dollars any way you want within that sub-account.
Okay, I think the direction is going to as far as funds availability, because like we have two CDs under our lake associations. Should they run into milfoil or some invasive species, the monies are there to get, depending on if it's early summer or late summer. You said early on, I believe, would the funds be available at any time? Is that how that works? Instead of us, we have only certain times we can pull on these?
Yeah, if the funds were in the money market program, that's a liquid program. That'd be like a savings account, savings vehicle, if you will, that would be linked up to your local bank. So you could pull that back to your local bank whenever you might need it. If you invest into other types of investments, whether it's a term series or one of the CD programs or whatever type of instrument you might invest in, those would not be as liquid. Those would be subject, you know, to your typical rules for early withdrawal. So it really depends on where the dollars are, but the money market programs, you could, if they were in there, they would be fully liquid.
And we can do what we want with each CD we have right now.
Right.
Some can be liquid, some...
In a money market fund, the would the interest rate still be around that 4 or probably not? I mean,
that's hard to tell. That's, yeah.
I mean, you gave me a number of 4.2 a little while ago here. I know in 6 months from now that all changes, but I'm just kind of talking about right now that if we had it in a money market fund, we're not getting the returns that we would if we had it locked up for like a year.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I said, this has not been a normal market for the last year, so we've seen short-term rates oftentimes higher than longer-term rates. If the Fed does take action as the market expects them to over the next several months, we will see those short-term rates come down, and so we would expect those money market rates to come down in step with what the Fed does. So currently they're at 4.2. I doubt they're going to be there at 4.2% in 6 months, but... we don't pretend to guess what the Fed is going to do, so we just kind of look at what the market is expecting, and the market is expecting those to come down. So that would be the expectation.
Might I make a suggestion that since now you've all had this presentation, I would like to visit with our auditor, Doug Host, regarding this and then circle back next month? And then in between time, I would imagine these guys will answer any questions that come, you know, up.
And that gives us all time to think of all of it a little bit better, and go through our literature.
If that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, I'm very much in agreement with that.
Is that okay with you, Corey?
Oh, yeah. Yep, whatever questions come up, happy to answer. And even if the auditor has questions, Doug, I know him for known Doug for many years, so if there's any questions Doug has, he can certainly reach out.
Okay, because I just want him to, kind of give the blessing on it. He's the one who wanted us to do this, so.
Okay. Yeah, that works for us. That'd be wonderful.
Circling back briefly, the cost to us is zero. You manage this money just on a contract with the league?
Right, yep. And so if you ever really want to look at, if you want to get into the nitty-gritty details out on the 4M Fund website, 4mfund.com, there's an information statement that spells out all the fees, and so it's really based just on assets under management, which is just a simple calculation based on all the dollars that are being invested, and then as the administrator, we get paid for our efforts through that. So it's all of that has been accounted for before any rates are shown to any clients. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Just briefly, so we're going to circle back on this. What is our cost with our accounting firm? The balance, what do we got? 5, 10, 12 CDs here.
That's what I'd like to talk to Doug about. It's, you know,
see what savings.
Tell him, council has, now has the information from the 4M fund, what his recommendations are, and what we need to do to cut our auditing costs.
Right.
For sure.
But still have the availability to the money. Some of it you may want to stick into something longer term, but others, yes, you may want it to still stay liquid. It's a lot to process. When I did this with them a couple weeks ago, I just went, oh my gosh.
It sounds really good though. It sounds like we can...
It does.
We're just dabbling in CDs right now. They have a lot more things that they can branch out into.
And the thing is we deal with them locally, and that's kind of our thing that... we try to keep it local, now we're going to be, or they may keep it local.
He said we can still keep it local and they will manage it.
Right. But,
I think it's a win-win. Obviously, what Doug
says. I'm playing the devil's
See what Doug says.
And that's a big point he's making there. We're Pioneer State and First National, which is pretty local, and these are all pretty local banks.
All right, so let's move along. We come to the solar project updates. And we just received a thing here from our lawyer. I'd like to look at this before we move ahead on this. Has anybody got any other? This was kind of the last minute information. I think it'd be wise to look it over before we come back around on it. Ann said that at one point we were kind of under the gun thinking that we had to approve this now to get certain funding, but that's now changed, so we're not under the gun anymore on that. We still will have it, so again, I'd like to just look this stuff over before we make a decision, but if anybody'd like to make a decision tonight, I'm open for suggestions or comments.
Well, and Tom did say he's willing to come next month if you want him to. He'd like to share some of his, he has some reservations on the project. So.
Okay. And I think we should hear what he has to say.
Yes. I'd like to, So I'd like to put this off for another month if everybody else is all right with it.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. That brings us to the approval to create a DNR grant fund.
There's nothing in your packet regarding this. It's a requirement in the contract with the DNR for the park project that we have a separate fund for tracking purposes. And I asked if it could be an Excel fund or if I should create a fund or an Excel spreadsheet or if I should create a fund in my CTAS system. She really highly recommended just creating a fund called the DNR Grant Fund in my CTAS system. I spoke with Lisa Sova at the league. She said, absolutely, just get a council motion.
All right. Well, that being said, I'd like a motion on that.
I make a motion we approve the DNR own account grant. Own account for this grant money.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay, now we move to the approval of the preliminary budget resolution 2025-12.
I did give you a fresh packet of the budget.
Yes.
And I did change the resolution a little bit from what was in your packet. After going over the budget with Chester for Road and Bridge, he did make a few cuts. And then there was discussion with him and I and Gary about maybe the need in the future for more labor hours for park area. And so I put an additional $5,000 into the general fund under grounds and maintenance. Otherwise, the levy is staying exactly how it was last year. If you'll see on page, that the handout that I gave you, yeah, the second page, it shows you there is zero change in the levy. The fire department said they were fine with theirs. I feel like the park is fine. I went through wages. I did increase attorney costs because we seem to have been incurring a little bit more. So tonight I'm just looking for a motion for the resolution 2025-12. If no one feels, because this is it, we can't raise it after the end of the month.
All right. Is there money in this budget to start budgeting for a new building now?
Well, there is capital improvement. There is capital improvement, yes. Building and structures. On page 4 of 7 in the packet that I gave you, 30,000. It was at 32, but I took 2 away. I think, and I put it in attorney costs. So that's just in your general fund. Road and Bridge doesn't have anything for buildings, just heavy machinery, but that's something, Mark, if we sit down, you're looking at $42,425 for heavy machinery right now, but is that something?
We have a brand new grader, but we don't know where the truck is at this point either.
Well, it'd be a good discussion to have. So, because if you're not, then let's move that into the building and structure capital outlay, or some of it.
And the balance goes into a fund.
Well, then, yeah, we can create a fund too. Yeah.
And that's where, if we were with this 4M thing, we could easily just transfer money over there at any given time.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Will you be able to do that just in your computer there?
I don't know. There's more to learn. But I think that's where Doug Host is going to be helpful with that.
It's nice that you guys know each other too.
Very nice. So is everybody comfortable keeping the levy?
I think I am. I'll make the motion that we accept resolution 2025-12, resolution adopting the 2026 preliminary budget and certifying tax levy to Crow Wing County.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and then I just highly encourage anybody who wants to come in and go over this with me. I'd greatly appreciate it.
All right, then we move on to planning and zoning. That's me, and there's really not a thing to talk about. There was no zoning meeting this past last month. A lot of stuff on the table this month. We'll talk about that at the next meeting. If anybody's got any questions. All right, we'll move on. Road construction, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't think it was due, but I guess we're, it's been 4 years on the parking lot. I thought it was just 2 years ago we had this stripes were all crooked, wasn't it?
It's 21.
Time flies, huh?
It was just a thought, is all it was.
And I've talked to some people recently that think seal coat's a joke. Randy, this is, goes down your line of expertise also. What are your thoughts?
It's a bad rap because usually what they try to use it for is an additional lift of asphalt. So they're looking for structure, not for example, like parking lots where it would just be a slurry coat is what I call them. So but I think we discussed this last month where I think we'd have better opportunity for success if we'd hold off on this till the spring.
Okay.
Granted, with the nice weather right now, you'd like to sneak some of that in, but the weather's going to change, and we have to respect that.
We are going into the late season. It's raining. It's dealing with asphalt.
Right.
I would want to do it this year.
I mean, Chester did a great job with the crack fill and sealant. That's something you want to keep the moisture out of the cracks and have that go down in our subsystem. So you want to keep track of that. And like I said, Chester did a great job of sealing those cracks up from any moisture. So.
So it's something maybe we put on the agenda for next March to try to get something done early in the spring or in
schedule
for June.
We then want to probably have to circle back for new quotes at that time.
I'm sure it will.
Jed Black said he'd honor it in the spring.
Oh.
But that's up to you. I don't know anything. Would the prices go down? Or it's just probably going to go up?
I don't.
Oil prices, you never know. And that's a lot of what they're going to splash on there. It's a pretty heavy oil base.
We could accept it if we wanted this evening, or if you'd rather be more comfortable, hold off till spring and look at it again, maybe.
We're going to do it in the spring. I'd like to see new bids in the spring.
Okay. I would.
Let's try to get it on like a March, so it's late winter.
Early, yeah.
Get on their schedule in June, July.
Yeah, let's get on the schedule early, because it says temperature must be 50 degrees for a 24-hour period. You know, and other they got other degrees, and must be 39 degrees and rising for our service, you know. So they've got standards that they have to meet.
Instead of doing it on Tuesday or Friday,
I'd be good for spring,
That's ambient temperature. That's ground temperature now.
Okay.
Which is
true.
Even worse.
Speaking of the parking lot, I just brought it up to Gary, but it seems like when we striped our parking lot, it seems like our spaces are narrower than some other places that I go to. And being a park, it seems like we're so close. If I drive my truck, my mirrors are out, and I park next to another truck that has mirrors out, I mean, we're almost touching mirrors, and sometimes I have to be really careful that I don't plug mirrors with them. So I just kind of looked up the standard. U.S. Compact is 16 feet by 8. U.S. Standard was 18 by 8.5 feet. And then large is 20 by 9. We have a lot of parking area. It would be nice to have a little bit bigger parking area.
I believe ours are 20 by 9, or 9 feet wide at least.
Do you think so?
I measured them. I'm pretty sure that's what
aren't they 12?
No,
10.
I want to say we might still go.
I have a wheel right in that room.
Yeah.
If you want to go wheel it.
Yeah.
The key's hanging on the wall.
Yeah, because I thought I had measured it when we were talking about over here, and I'm almost certain I thought we had measured 9 at one thing, but maybe
what
are
the options? 8.5?
8 up to 9.
8 to 9. And I thought these were 9 in width.
I can hear you coming.
See if I remember what I really thought I remembered. I don't know if a handicap is any different.
I agree, they could be bigger. Okay, so put that on hold.
Yep.
Okay.
Do we need a resolution for the 3D cameras?
Just a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to add 3 more cameras to the maintenance park area.
Where are these going to be located?
Chester, where are these 3 cameras going to be, do you know?
One towards the stud ball building.
We have one facing from the pavilion into the parking lot, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then do we have one in the maintenance shop? And then we've got
over where
facing
the
where
the shop and where the truck and all the equipment sits out there. Anything that sits outside is going to be covered.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second on that to get 3 more cameras going. We're waiting for you to vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to ask
Chester? Do you have anything else?
Where
is the status on the truck? Did you get an update today?
I talked to them yesterday afternoon. They still didn't have it running yet. And until it's running, that they can put the computer on it and see what all they can find, but they don't have an answer yet, no. And I didn't hear anything today, so I gotta assume they didn't get it running today yet either, but I don't know.
Thank you.
All right, that'll go on roads. We get to the liquor store. So, Emily, you're up.
Okay. Did everyone get the P&L, which looks great? Looks like I have about 16,000 from last year, I believe. So that's fabulous. Did you ever tell, did you get those numbers at all? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I know Randy was curious about the food sales. So from for example, I guess April of last year was 8,000, April of this year was 9, May was 13, this year was 16, June was 15, this year was 17, and July was 19, and this year was 23,000.
When did you start with your full-time crust?
Did I start? I think it was June? May or June with the
started with the Katie first.
Katie, yeah. And that was sounds about right, May.
You said Cook payroll, $6,484. Is that for that full 3 months, or was is that our monthly cost to have a cook?
That's for the full.
That's for the full.
That's
for,
yep, from the date the cook started till I generated that.
Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Obviously now I'm just definitely minimizing those hours. I, you know, obviously this will be my first going into the winter season and kind of seeing how things are doing. Definitely seeing, you know, things getting a little quieter. So I took Karna, you know, Tuesday nights and might just have her for a few hours Wednesday nights for burger nights and then to do like a midweek reset. Stocking, prepping for Thursday and tacos and stuff like that. But, you know, depending on how that goes, I'm very cautious of, you know, if we don't need it, we can get by without it, then I won't have a cook come in. So.
Just so we concentrate a little bit on that, this is not scientific at any point. We understand there's some additional costs here, but the reason I wanted to take a look at it and see what our impact was by adding a full-time cook, that shows up here, that we need to cook not 24 hours a day or anything
right.
like that. We want to be cognizant of that. But
yeah, I really appreciate you acknowledging that because it was a huge thing that I advocated for when I started here. Mm-hmm. And just seeing not only in my bar, you know, bartenders usually inexperienced and don't know all the rules of the kitchen, but having someone in there that, you know, you want to encourage people to order food, you know, because you have someone to make it, you know, because when it's, we haven't had a cook here on Thursdays, you know, and then, you know, Sundays, and we haven't had a cook through all the summer. I mean, it's painful. We're busy enough, but then to add on that we need someone in the kitchen, and I've seen it sometimes this summer, especially on a Thursday, we could use two. So, obviously, just going into next summer, wanting to add a server strictly for the patio with our new system, that would be very easy to do. And that will give us increased sales and food and liquor that we can sell. So, yeah, I mean, having that cook on is such a relief.
On that note, part of hiring the cook was supposed to free up the bartender, but then how do you explain our complaints tonight?
Yeah, it's hard to explain to you guys because you haven't been behind the bar and on a really busy night or like it. Our system for one does not make it very fluid. It is a little complicated to find things, and then the transaction with it being so outdated, only having two registers that people can use one at a time, you know, so it is a little bit of that. I think maybe a little bit, you know, like having a server outside of the bar and not coming back and needing a computer or needing to make drinks will help a lot. So like they would, like a normal restaurant, put a ticket order in for a drink and come up to the bar and grab it and go serve their tables. So, I just foresee it working a lot better. It is a little chaotic right now. I mean, it's just kind of like we're kind of all everywhere just trying to take care of every person that comes up to the bar. I haven't really had any other complaints other than the, you know, Robin that was here earlier. It's just a lot, you know, there's people that are understanding. If they have to wait in line, you gotta wait in line. We're not standing there staring at you.
But I've, and on that note, I've also had people say they've had excellent service and you probably have your best staff you've ever had.
I've heard that a lot, especially this summer.
But on that same note, recently on vacation, I was three different nights, I watched one bartender that would blow away.
Yeah.
All your bartenders combined and had twice the crowd and one bartender covered it all. It's like,
yeah.
Why can't we?
And it's, you know, kind of our setup. Like we're running into each other behind a bar. It was kind of, you know, another reason I wanted a new Center Island that was a little smaller with more space to, you know, hide cords and put stuff. Just having more room too behind the bar, and, you know, we're literally doing circles around each other, as you've probably witnessed. And yes, there's always going to be room for improvement. And,
well, and also add to that, you've got people coming in off sale.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to wait. I've been in there and had to wait and not had anyone acknowledge me. Of course, I'm going to just wait.
Right. But next summer, I'd love to see some one person literally stand in pull tabs and do off sale. I mean, and do not move. And right now, it's like I try to implement that, but it's just kind of got out of my hands. As much as I can say, okay, please stay here, please stay here. This does not always work like that.
Well, let's work on that. It's not 100% mechanical issue or a personnel issue. It's a combination of all that. I think by having some meetings with the staff, we need to cover some things. Mm-hmm. Not sit on our laurels and hope the public goes away, because I get both positive and negative comments, which is great. But what do you do with that information then?
Yeah. So. I think every establishment around,
there's
negative.
Yeah.
I agree. I've heard way more positive from the summer of what a great staff there is. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. We all try our best. On that note, with the POS, I did email everybody. I did not hear any response back from council, but I did get the okay from the mayor and just kind of the original. They did not include off sale, which is a huge benefit to have everything cohesive. And so I just kind of highlighted that the difference that it's going to be. I'm not worried about it. I think, you know, watching where my labor costs are going, what I'm spending, I will be changing cleaners as soon as December, as soon as possible, because the ones that we have right now are, I feel like they're taking advantage of what was offered to them to start for pay. So, That's gonna decrease on that, and then I've been very mindful as it is as far as what, you know, our resources and what I'm spending the money on, and you know, just being diligent about that. So I don't foresee that being an issue at all.
What do you interrupt here on your POS? What's your time frame on that, or what do you see your rollout time?
So I have spent in the last week. I've spent about 10 hours inputting everything that we sell here in this menu template under Google Docs, and have a Zoom meeting. Everything is basically going to get wrapped up, and the full live date is October 1st.
You'll be able to have toast up and running by October 1st?
Mm-hmm. I'm working really hard. I'm working very hard. I have my Zoom meeting set up. Like I said, I'm almost done with the whole menu template. I've had to, you know, start fresh and put everything in this template that we're going to sell, as with, you know, prices and happy hour prices and food and everything on there, and all types of modifiers, and it's been a learning experience for sure. But I also, you know, had my onboarding call with Zachary, he's our onboarding consultant, and before I even dived more into doing the template, he's like, you already have a really good head start. So I feel confident about that. I did show Anne how to input employees. Today, I did input one employee today. I got a serious email and was able to do that. So I can definitely do that. I didn't know if we needed more information, but I'm just going to go with the phone number, and then I texted everyone today, let them know about the freezer, and let them know I needed emails. So I also spent time today after I cut Dale
and let him go because it was not busy making the map of our, I have to put all the tables in where they go, on the patio and the bar. And then we started to get people coming.
How was the freezer coming?
So the freezer situation, it's driving me nuts. It's broken. It's from China. I don't even know who got a part for it. What Darren had did was put a universal part in it, but something about it not working. He had to call the place who had to email someone in China who's the engineer, and then they all have to email her back, and she'll have to get back to Darren. It sounds like it's just dead, and that's...
With that being said, that if we possibly are going to have to get a new freezer, I'm not sure, but one thing I just really want you to be aware of is when you go to get equipment, do your due diligence and get it all together in one shot. This toast thing, you know, coming up with more costs after we already agreed to one, we want to make sure we do our due diligence. This, we don't want to go through this too much more like that.
The freezer situation, though, that's out of my hands.
Is if we have to buy one, please do your due diligence completely before you bring it to the council.
Yes.
This toast thing, it wasn't completely done, because right now we have to vote on giving more money for that.
Right.
It's always best that we do it in one shot. That's my point that I'm making. If whenever we need to purchase something, make sure you do your entire due diligence so we don't have to come back around.
And I am working with Anna Jessica on this whole situation, and I think all three of us did not catch that when we put the memorandum, when I put the memorandum together for city council.
Okay.
So.
I just wanted to say
that.
And with that, I guess we need to, have a motion on that.
Mr. Mayor, I just got one more comment.
Oh, certainly. I'm sorry, Randy.
I think your time frame's a little aggressive. The last thing we want to do is
go out half-cocked,
yes.
So I have seven days. So what my onboarding consultant is going to do is we have a Zoom meeting 7 days prior to October 1st. And if everything is not ready to go, like for real, we can put it off.
Well, you're talking setting the POS up. I'm looking at how long a duration are you going to have training our staff on this?
When the day that we go live, I will be here with the staff that comes in, and I will be working with them on that. It is a very easy system to use, so I really don't foresee any like issues with that, especially with 24/7 support.
How does that affect our, if we go live November 1st, we'd have two months left on this POS?
I don't know if we'll get reimbursement back for what we've paid them for support. I can ask.
No,
I'll look. You mean for our support contract we have now?
No.
Okay.
I guess just taking a look at... when we want to roll this out, I think the first part of November would be more applicable than first of October, because we're almost there now in September.
What do you think that all needs to be done with it?
I'm just putting that out there. I haven't looked at your information on that. The worst we can do is start this up and then have fall in the base.
Remember
5-6 years ago, that system would always crash.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I don't know how much money we lost.
So once the menu template and stuff is finished, somebody puts everything in. So when we plug it in and literally turn it on, you should be able to go to food right away and order a hamburger with everything that we have here and all of our drinks. So
is the credit card information up to speed on that with this new system?
Yeah, definitely have to work with Anna Jessica regarding it, and the company regarding the credit card processing all that, because that's not something that I'm familiar with or have a hand in.
Well, it's issues like that that we need to cover before the due date.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, just to give you a little more information, this is cloud-based, so as soon as we turn it on, it's going to go.
Yeah.
And we did talk about when the equipment comes, it's not here yet. We're going to set it up in here. Mm-hmm. She's going to have the ability to work on it here if she needs. She can still do it at her desk, but then staff can come in here or in her office. They can start training basically
start
anytime.
And with the handhelds, just kind of like...
Yeah.
You can put it in training mode?
Not that I'm saying she shouldn't be aware, because we have talked about it, because we are worried about her and her staff if they do go live too early.
Yeah.
But I think she's well aware that...
Well, it's not like it's critical that we have to be up and running by the...
No, but we do need to know the minute we go live, then they're going to start charging us, so we want to be ready.
Exactly.
The monthly fee.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
And you recall our... POS system process back what 10 years ago, life expectancy on these things,
it was $15,000.
That's what I thought. It was a lot more than
I think we've had it I think we've had it 6 years, but that because we purchased all the equipment and
here we're just leasing.
Well, no, we are purchasing some, but they discounted it 50%. You know, the equipment, you'll see that in there. And right now we don't have a monthly fee, but the monthly fee I think is well worth it. I don't know, and maybe Juan has experience with point of sales and cloud-based.
If it was me, you're gonna have a monthly fees plus transaction fees on every swipe, tap, or anything. So really, you don't know how much
you're
paying, because it's going to be per transaction plus monthly fee.
Right, on the credit card fees, and right now we do too, but we also do tack on a 2.5% convenience fee.
Is that going to be reflected? I just said it all recently one time. Receipt reflected cash price?
I believe it does. I was just at the Red Pine, and I had the receipt.
It's quite the difference. I usually pay in cash.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, we were at Red Pine. If you're there, they have toast. It was amazing. That server had what we wanted at our table. She came over, took the order. She went behind the bar. She had it back, and the place was packed. Because it prints automatically to a bartender standing there.
Yep.
They poured the things. We didn't wait. Nice. Nothing.
She didn't have to go behind the bar, ring it up,
right.
Do the transaction credit card, make the drink
itself. It was amazing.
Does our 2.5% cover the cost of what we are charged for the...
Every card is different. So once we do get hooked up with this, I do want them, because they are our credit card processor, which I'm excited about. It's not a second party place. And then I want to know the average of what we're paying, because Jake down the road here, Kelly said he charges 3 or 3.5% for his credit card fees. So I just want to make sure we're in line. I'm not saying I want to go to the customer, but if 2.5 is low and we're paying a lot more, then
right.
I think
we
should bump it.
We should be recouping it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be out.
No, all good points.
But I do like it when they do show you, if you pay cash, this is the price, and if you use your card, this is the price.
Would you check on that?
I do like that.
Do you think it does?
Yeah.
It does. Because I don't remember.
Everywhere that I've ever been with Toast, it does.
Okay. Good.
Because, otherwise it's on them to pay it. So, they have their bill, and it's like, okay, you pay us this bill of cash, this is what you owe us. If you're going to use your credit card, this is what you're going to be charged. So,
okay.
I will absolutely confirm that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. And I'll look at my receipt again. Or I'll just go there again.
Okay.
I guess we need a...
You got one more here.
I'll let you know what Darren says tomorrow about the freezer. We can go from there then.
Yeah.
Tony, thank you again for letting us use your freezer. I seriously have been So that's been really nice to have. And then... just Michaela starting just part-time to fill in here and there with AEW leaving.
just keep that in mind as well, so.
Okay, so I need a couple motions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. How much more is I'm looking?
I think it's really.
Let's go back to the POS.
I believe it's another $240 a month.
Yeah, it's got much more a month, and that's much more overall, $400 above what we had okayed last month.
So it's $690?
Yeah. Well, that's a monthly charge.
Monthly, okay. Well, not for a cost.
Yes, but this is, I think that's a one-time. The $400 is a one-time cost, but the monthly charge is another $290 more a month over what we had studied.
Well, and your motion last month was to approve the purchase of Toast POS system for the on and off sale, but your bid didn't have the off sale in it. So for our auditor, because he's going to ask for copies of the bids, I just need to make sure it's clear.
We need to have this in there for our...
Yeah.
So the motion has to be stated such that... So I'll make a motion that we purchase an off-sale with a difference of up to $400 for an upfront cost and a $290 cost per month.
Sure.
Yep. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next motion we need is to approve to hire Michaela as a part-time bartender at $12.50 per hour.
And I'll second that.
Michaela who?
Yeah. Thank you. You take a wag at it.
He's right over that.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and then we have resolution 2025-12 for the Sourcewell grant. That is to improve our kitchen and ventilation in our kitchen. That is to put in a hood vent. We've got a quote from Cross Lake Sheet Metal on it, and that's what we based our cost on. I think we should probably get more bids on that in the future. I think we're just, now we need a resolution to accept this.
I'll make a motion that we accept resolution 2025-10, a resolution agreeing to submit an application to Sourcewell Impact Funds $50,000 for kitchen / ventilation improvements.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Then we need another resolution to approve Cross Lake Sheet Metal.
No, we're going to get more bids.
I think we should have more bids. That's the only one we need. To be right, I think we need more.
Yeah, the bid is just for the purpose of submitting the resolution.
Right, actually, from April 25, it's only guaranteed for 30 days.
Yeah, but we're just using it.
I do have an updated one of September 4th. The packet went out before I got it.
All right, then that brings us to parks. Tony.
Approval to add Belinda Urich and Gina Anderson to the park committee.
Second.
Well, I
make
that motion.
Make up with it. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we're not going to talk about the bid for tile installation.
No, we removed that.
Is that going to happen this year yet, then? Or?
I think so, yeah. We've got a bid for $600. We don't even have to go to council. It's going to be nice to get in there and lay them tile and show us what products and
is everything. Is there a step to start that, or is it going to start at the bottom? Or?
Well, we've been talking a lot about the design of that, and there's been a lot of talk about having just blank corners coming down and maybe a wainscot of blank tiles up, so we're not using printed tiles all the way to the bottom.
Should those be changed on a later date? Should we fill it up 10 years from now?
I think they could be, yeah. Yeah. But right now, the way I envision it is we'd start up high somewhere.
Points coming.
Right. So there again, we need to get a design as to wainscot corners, how things we want to look at it, so.
Yeah, I think once you guys get a design and share it with people, you'll get more.
We will, once we get some on the wall.
Yeah, people start seeing it, yeah.
Which it should be next week.
So, that's where we're going to go past that, and that brings us to Randy with Fire and Rescue.
Asked Lori to give us an update on the gambling issue. You don't have to make it.
It's not an issue. Just an update.
Just an update, yeah.
Just an update. I just wanted to share, you know, we got the new holder for the e-tabs, and we updated from 4 to the 6 e-tab tablets out there. And I have been in here, Rick and I, multiple times and have seen them all used. I've also found, and now, granted, this is just my first summer being the gambling manager, but I feel like since we went to 6, I've done, and now I get it's been a busy few months, but the deposits have been way more than I've seen. I'm hoping that that is part of, you know, what we did. The clear case, we've gotten many compliments on that. It's classy. We're going to look at getting a digital, hopefully, sign that we can put above over by the e-tabs. And is that sign hanging up right now?
Yeah.
So, you know how there used to be a sign that would say how much the fire department has received, blah, blah, blah. It's back up there, but it's just a paper sign right now. And so we're going to look at possibly a digital sign that can be changed a lot easier, and so that we can keep that up to date so that people can see that. And kind of class up that corner a little bit more. I think that it looks nice. Emily's been working really great with me, letting me know whenever there's issues. Even the bar staff have texted me right away, and I said, especially if it's an e-tabs issue, because I can go on and look at the last, like, day. I can't go on and see anything, you know, like, from last week. So if there is any issues, I get a text, and then right away I can go in and log on and see what's going on. So that's been helpful. Siri is one of the new bar staff, and she has a lot of experience in pull tabs and stuff. So we have now, Emily trained her on closing out games. So now we've got 3 of them, Emily, Kim, and Siri, which has been really nice. And we still have some small issues with some of the bar staff not doing signatures, tickets in the wrong box. But when I look at that, it's been just over these last few months, we even had some of the gambling staff that didn't sign some things. I kind of contribute that to how busy it was, which is a good thing for the bar. But we've come up with a good plan of getting these things signed before they get out of my hand and get into the audit hands, which Andy does the auditing. So it's really cut back by handling it right here at the time and cut back time on everybody going forward until we get them put into our very nice storage unit. We did have a concern with garbage filling up on Thursdays. It's just so busy in the summer, and so I picked up a garbage can. I put the fire department logo on it. It stays in our little back corner. Our staff is in charge of putting a bag in it, bringing it out, putting all of the horse race tickets in there and the bingo sheets, and they're in charge of taking it outside. So that takes away, we're not expecting the bar staff to handle that garbage can, but then it also gives our staff, the gambling staff, somewhere to put that stuff because the garbage is just filled up way too fast. So that's worked out really, really nice. We were going to build a cabinet unit in the little corner over there out of the cabinets that we took down at the fire hall, and then I got talked out of that, and so I'm looking at buying one. I'm trying to save some money, but anyway, soon we'll have a little shelving unit in there to help our corner of the roof a little nicer. Any questions?
Are you going to discuss lowering the percentage of the bar tape?
Well, we were waiting for you to get back from Alaska, and...
You need your voice?
Huh?
You need your voice?
Well, I just didn't want to discuss it at the fire meetings until you were back. So, and Keith still wanted to look at some reports and stuff, so, yes, that's still...
Maybe we'll get over there first?
I Keith would like to look through some reports and see. I know I am looked back to try and see if he could find previous contracts and can't.
And maybe it is in there somewhere. That's a project. It's a project for winter, but I think we're doing some revamping of the room tomorrow, starting tomorrow. So I will ask Jess to keep her eyes open.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it, well, we can leave it at 20%, but can you take it off the net instead of the gross?
You know what? I don't think that we can because it populates it in CG Made Easy. I had also asked them because we had a concern over what we thought was if the bar was short on pull tabs, yet they were long on e-tabs, we thought that we still got what was short taken off the rent. It doesn't. It takes the two together. So, and there's no way around it. I talked with Amy and Mark at CG Made Easy, and they were like, no, this is how it is. And then Andy had me ask as well, can we do it by game? Because there's times that there's a game that's $200, it's not often, $200 short, you know, can we do it by game? We cannot. So the only thing we can do is lower it from the 20%. So, and just so you guys know, the reason that we even are talking about this, for one, you know, when you look at, you know, we 20% goes, let's just look at e-tabs even, 20% goes to rent, or 15% on e-tabs goes to rent, 25% goes to pilot, and then the taxes that we have to pay. When you really look at all of this, sometimes Andy and I were evaluating, we're like, why are we even doing this? Like, what's the point? You know, it's like, then we pay all of our employees, and but yet, now you look at the summer, and we had some money that we were able to donate, which is really nice. But when we were in the winter months, it's like, what? We don't have anything, you know, once you've paid everything. So I think that's kind of why we wanted to look at that, you know, and reassess, so.
Any feedback from anybody about the taking away the last sale on the pull-tab buyouts?
No.
Okay. Just curious.
Well, we took away the vacant buyout.
I just heard about it yesterday, and so I was just wondering if you'd heard anybody.
Emily hasn't told you? Because there is a customer that's very upset.
Oh, no, she did not tell me.
Okay, there is.
I had several of them last night talking. Was it last night?
Or maybe Emily doesn't know. Kim was the one who said to me that there is a gentleman who will not play pull tabs here now because there's not that.
Yeah, last night there were several telling me that they won't play here anymore either. So I was just wondering if you had any.
Maybe ask.
You know, I have not heard any of that. I do know that Brainerd Games said it saves us money by not having them. So.
But does it in the end if you lose big pull tabbers?
You know what?
It doesn't.
They're going to come back. You know, if this is their local place and it's close to home,
true.
You know, it's just like when we lost staff and people were like, we're never coming back there. And look at it, they're back. So, you know, I mean, you're going to find it anywhere. I don't see people going in to Andy's and looking at it like, oh, we don't have any of that. I'm not going to put it here.
I would, though, if she has a staff meeting, maybe go to that, because it'd be nice if staff tell you themselves.
Yeah.
If they're hearing it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the secondhand information, but yes.
Right. Usually Emily lets me know right away. So.
And I don't know because Kim is the one who told me that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. I've had some comments too. Negative.
Yeah.
Well, if sales start going down, then I guess we take a look at it and see how much are we saving by not doing it and what are we losing. And if they don't go down, then it really wasn't an issue. So,
one question, what's the thought process of when you pull a box down? Is it when there's X amount of?
Well, one of it is if all of the big winners are gone, no one's going to play it.
Right.
The other, you know, is if it's really losing money, I mean, then they'll pull it. You know, it's just, it kind of varies, but it's usually if people aren't playing it, they get a feel for it. And that's where we were getting staff
you know, texting, you know, hey, can someone come up here and change these out? And I don't know, I think it was just during that really busy time. And, you know, we've in the past talked to the staff about, you know, just because all the 500s are gone, there's still 300s and 100s, doesn't mean, you know, they want the tips. And so it's like, no, we're not going to change it out just because the 500's gone and we're not going to get the tips on that. So it's really been, I think, going well. We have lost some money. I've had to write some checks to reimburse. But we've also had some that have done really well. So.
Well, and Randy had asked me to put the gambling report in the packet. Just some of you know how to read it. Some I don't know if everybody knows how to read it, probably, but you know, this shows your your games and the longs and shorts.
And but in the red, yeah, it calculates all of that. So
right.
It's not going by.
I see the boxes are a lot closer, although there's one here that's minus 72 and one that's over 110.
Yeah,
but everything else is pretty, you know.
And there has been, and Emily's trying to really keep watch on this, where, because they look at, you know, the game and go, oh, okay, here, this one's green, this one's pink. And then they open it up and then the tickets are like, both pink. And so it's kind of deceiving. Well, then you're busy. And they might be going to the wrong pink, you know, color. So she's been trying to really watch that and not have two of the same color out there. So
yeah, I used to watch that too. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah.
All right. Now we need to move on to a resolution 2025-11. Resolution agreeing to submit an application to Sourcewell Public Safety Impact Funds for $24,122.40 for wildland year.
Is that a motion?
I'll make it a motion.
Second.
Okay. Do you have a motion and a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there anything you'd care to add under fire this evening, Jess?
I had 2 medicals last month, no fire calls. They don't call it an ISO anymore, I guess it's a PPC rating, but that involves all homeowners insurance. Our fire department is rated, and then the better the rating we have, the better home insurance everybody will have. We were at a 7, we're still at a 7. But there's a couple little points that I feel like it should have scored us a little better, and there's a place online that you can kind of rebuttal it, kind of, you know. And so when I hear back from them, maybe we're pretty close to being on a 6, maybe. So we'll see once that stuff comes back. It might come down to a 6, maybe. We're close. But yeah, that's the same rating. You know, I met with the guy early in the spring. We went over everything. And I have a report here too that I can share with everybody. It shows where we stack up statewide, nationwide, locally, and we're right in there for the majority of everything, right? Right where everybody else is at. So that's good. We did get a grant from Sourcewell for $2,000 for new EMS bags for our ditch kits. And so we're looking to purchase new bags for all the members so everyone's match and they're more cohesive for showing up on scene instead of carrying 4 or 5 bags and your arms are full, and it'll just be better. And then this grant here, so. Is there anything on my list?
All right, well thank you, sir. We'll move on to feasibility committee, and that's me. So I think the only thing we have underneath that is to approve to add Lori Crawford to NRAF to the feasibility committee. I'll make that a motion.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I guess the only other thing I'd like to say about that is I we had put something on, is it Facebook, that kind of explains things, what our process and where we're at and where we're going. So the public, it's a little more transparent, because there were already people starting to have rumors. Yeah. So we're trying to take care of that too. So
yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
So all right, and then we go to purchasing and personnel, and that's me again, and Minnesota Paid Act Leave. I don't know if there's any discussion on that. Or
all I wanted to do was inform you this will take effect on January 1st, 2026. The city will then be required to, and I'll bring it back next month. I'm taking a couple classes on it because it is a lot to understand. But basically, the purpose of it is to allow paid time off for someone having a baby or medical emergency or something. And
you got a baby?
No. Golly. No. No, my daughter is, though. What we'd be looking at is 0.88% of a person's wages is what it needs to be paid. And it's like an unemployment. It's in the unemployment website. It's managed by unemployment, basically. And so it's like an insurance you're paying, okay? But we, of that 88%, we're required to pay at least half, so 44%. So it's up to the city whether you want to pay the full 88.88% or 0.44%. But next month, I'll come back with more information once I understand it all. But I just wanted you to know that, so it's not a surprise. Our budget is fine for it. It doesn't add up to a whole lot at all. So even at the full 0.88%. So
all right.
Just wanted you to know.
And then we have camera use policy on pages 73 and 74. I think that just mainly explains how we're using and who has access to them.
It does. It's kind of dated, but I haven't had time to go through it. But it has come to our attention that our security system, our camera system, there is an app that a person can have on their phone to view the cameras. Dylan said that. Emily expressed interest. I just got a little leery because I remember back in the day when we went through this camera policy, we had council people who were very, very strict on who was viewing and when and where. And so I don't know. Should I ask other cities? Should I contact the league? I just get a little nervous.
Well, I think both, because it's technically, you could get in trouble if we do the wrong thing.
I think the data privacy, yes. And Dylan said, I mean, he can see who logged in and from where and when and all that, you know, if something would come about. But you just want to make sure anybody logging in is doing it for the right purpose. That's
right. Right. And is there a record of, is there something that keeps record of who's logging in, when?
It does. The system does. Yeah. But I would like you to read this over because I feel it's dated too. And I'll do some more research, bring it back.
All right, then we have to approve the painting of the city hall doors and receiving doors for the liquor store. We've got a bid in there from George's Painting for, is it $24,065 or is it for $29.65?
It's $24.65 for City Hall, and it's this door, inside and out, that door, and then the outside door.
Okay. They're and taking $500 off for the receiving doors?
If we don't do them. Okay. And it was only brought up because this spring, summer, they're rusting.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I was trying to think what the receiving doors look like. Do they
need to? They look terrible, but I don't know.
Well, we best take care of them before they.
Well, I'm thinking for $500.
Okay.
I would choose. It's
kind of an insurance program, getting sanded out and repainted.
Right. If we, you know, before they rust out, we can save them. I think it'd be a good idea to paint them all. So with that being said,
I make a motion we spend $2,965.
Yep.
Second, have the doors repaired.
And a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then we have a letter of support for the Cross Lake Ambulance Service. I've signed that, and we're going to send it to him to Cross Lake, I believe tomorrow, probably. I didn't realize it, but the ambulance had been taken away from this end of the county, and I think
the thing is taken away. They just restricted their services from, I believe, 9 or 8 to 8.
I think within the last maybe 3 weeks, they took it away from Cross Lake.
Well, they took it away completely.
Yeah,
it's gone. Yep. Jackson said it's gone.
Yeah.
That happens since I was gone. I knew we'd been cut back to like 8 to 8, but I...
No, I understand with that. I've been asked, Pam and I have been asked to go to a meeting in Cross Lake on that on the 17th. But, you know, that's, we need that, but more so than any time. I mean, there's a lot more people up here, and we got to get this figured out. So.
Anyway, well, over there, they've already got two nursing homes that are stretching their thin, too. I don't know how they don't have enough run time over there.
Well, right, because if you look at your pulse point, they're always going to the nursing home.
Right. So I hear that. I just stand in my garage for a day. You'll hear it.
Yeah. Okay, then discuss intern services through Sourcewell.
I do need a motion on that, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I make a motion we send Gary's letter to forward on to Cross Lake via North Ambulance Service.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, then we move on to discuss intern services through Sourcewell, pages 77 and 78.
What kind of internship are we looking at?
I think that's for a summer help kid. Come and run the, do, you know, take some...
Really an internship?
Well, to learn how to run a mower. If that's your chosen vocation, I don't know. But I think it's a good program. It would help Chester out with a lot of little stuff. This program will give up to $15 an hour for 640 hours. It's, you know, to give a kid around here, a local kid, a chance to work here. I think it's not a bad deal. So.
The office staff too, including Bethany, would love to see if we could get an intern in here, all of our planning and zoning files, which now we have four drawer cabinets full and we're adding a fifth, we'd love to see them all scanned and put in our computer electronically.
So we're looking at an intern more as an office help.
For
are
us.
Are we looking at two or one?
Two.
Two interns?
Well, to help you guys get squared away in, I think.
I think Chester's got the lawn figured out, don't you?
Well, it's not just for the lawn.
Well, I think, you know, I think we could have a kid doing a lot of the stuff we have a higher paid person doing right now, and it would help on Chester's budget. That's how I kind of look at it. Also having, I was in a program like this when I was a kid, and it was a great thing. I really like this program. And, you know, to keep a kid able to do stuff around here, you know.
No, it'll be a young person because it must be a high school graduate.
Oh, so it's older than
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, must be a high school graduate. Somebody going to college, maybe some of my
sure.
So I think it's a great idea in Sourcewell. Yeah.
I think it could save the city money
for us and women. Yeah.
Hopefully not cause Chester around too many headaches.
Right. I think I'd like a motion on that. I don't have it on the agenda, but
make a motion we join the Sourcewell internship reimbursement local government program.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then we come down to reissuing a couple checks. We need to reissue check number 513602. Cadence Patinode for $72.64, less the $25 fee. I need a, I'll make that my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we need to reissue check number 51677 to Keith Fitzpatrick for $184.70, less the $25 fee. That's my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unfinished business. We have a memo here.
The way I read this, they don't know what it's going to, it could cost a whole bunch of money or only a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't know how to, I don't know what to think about this, so.
Well, it's like two parts to it, land surveying for the 5 acres and then the architectural services.
We definitely have to have the land survey.
And with that being said, should we contact other land surveyors? Because, you know, there again, we're spending a certain amount.
Right.
We should get other.
I don't have a problem with that.
Pardon?
I don't have a problem with that.
I think we should then ask for maybe a couple more at least.
And contact KLD and...
Yeah, I
don't know. What's KLD?
We use Stonemark.
Stonemark, yeah, they used to be Landmark, right?
I can't remember who it was last year.
Lakes area, or lake surveying, we've used here for Town Hall Road and the park. Who's KLD?
They're out of Brainerd, they're down on Industrial Park Road.
KLD?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of them.
They're local.
Okay, good.
KLD or is it KDL?
Okay.
Right. I have it at home because I have...
You're right,
I think it's KDL.
Well, anyhow, we'll get that figured out too here. And, you know, on the architectural part of this, I don't know what to think about that right now, and we're really not at that point yet.
No, I don't think we're
there. So I think we just can let that.
Oh, they can really decide to fire our goal. So.
Yeah, we're not. We don't even have the property. So
let's find our goal. Yeah, we got to stay.
And then reminder, cleanup day is September 20th, 9 to noon. We do need volunteers.
Is anybody available? I am going to volunteer, but the city of Emily really needs more.
I'm going to try to get over there also.
I did it the last 2 years.
We didn't do it last year.
Don't try to use a pickup truck. You may come home good for it.
Well, I think I threw a few things in your truck. All right, open forum. Chester.
Yeah, an update on the sirens that are not working. The emergency sirens.
Yeah.
I don't know about the one on 136, but the one on Kego, I took the roadwork tractor up and cut the brush back and made a road in it where I could drive the pickup right to it and then get on the back of the pickup and open the box. And it is completely dead. I think all four batteries are junk. But I didn't. I tested back. Yeah, all the lights and everything in the box is completely dead. There's nothing lighting up.
Did you contact Bob Stantz?
No, I haven't had time to do it. I'm just looking at it and I
find out who we got those from because they are only, are they even 2 years old yet?
Bob's in the loop with all the stuff. We've been emailing back and forth all week. I've been with the county and with Bob and with you guys, and we're getting it worked out.
My big question is, are those batteries even charging for them to go bad that quick? There is a charge being sent.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. It's very possible they're not.
That should be something that falls under
the
warranty.
If it fuses any good, is the lightning hit and blow the fuses so they're not charging? I don't know. I didn't take the tester. I was going to grab my tester and go back and start testing, but then I had truck issues and everything else going on. It's kind of from one version to the next. And
well,
I haven't had time to pinpoint if it's a dead battery or not. I can put a test on the battery and find out in a hurry.
That should be a warranty issue.
That's definitely a warranty issue.
But I have not checked the one on 136, but why would they both be going down at the same time?
That's why I think there's probably an installation mix-up.
Unless the batteries are the same age and they're all exploring about the same time. I don't believe lighting hit both of them and blew all the fuses at the same time, so.
Sure.
And I can't remember, but I thought they all worked at one point this spring. I believe it was March.
I did hear that one up north go off.
Yeah.
Previously, and the other day when they did the test, I did not hear it. That's
right.
But I'd like to call it adjourned to the meeting right now.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?